So, yeah, today officially, Roxanne and I are stepping down from leadership position in the church. So this is what the service will be about, and we'll be officially installing Pastor Chip as the lead pastor of the church. So, yeah, it's going to be good. You know, lots of memories, obviously, and lots of stories, and golly, just all week thinking of stuff. But really, before I start, I just do need to say this, and that is, you know, people ask me, how have you survived 42 years pastoring a church in the same area? And I say, I have no idea other than Almighty God and, you know, mercy and stuff. But I do know. I really do know. And I do want to say I would never have survived 42 years pastoring a church in the same area without the support of my wife, Roxanna. So, no doubt about it. Yeah. We're going to give her a couple minutes here to share, but, you know, she's a saint and she's awesome, and I think she loves the church more than I do, works harder than I do. Incredible, really, but I wouldn't have made it without her. I would not have made it without the support of my children. I got some of them here today, and I know where they all are. I know some are here, but I would not have made it without the support. I have a huge extended family, siblings, spouses and stuff, and some of you are here today. You know, I wonder if you'd just do me a favor. If you're my family, extended family, my children, spouses, would you guys stand up for a second. Stand up. Roxanna, stand up. Extended family, come on. Yeah, can I just say thank you, because it is because you guys have helped so much. You've prayed for me, you've stood by me, you volunteered, and when I needed help, I knew I could call you, and I knew you would help me, and you've helped financially. Man, thank you. Really, really thank you, let's just take a minute. I want to have Roxanna come up and share for a couple minutes just some thoughts, and then we'll keep moving along. Roxanna, come on up.
Hello, everyone. I brought my notes so I can just share some thoughts from my heart. So I really am thankful from God to be a part of this church family for so many years. And although I have, I have to read this because I'm freaked out here. All right. Although there were times when I thought to myself, can I survive building this church and raising six children? I really don't know how, God, I'm going to do this. And then sometimes Dave would say, wow, Roxanne, I've got another great idea. Okay, so how many people have been part of our big day events here? Yeah. We've got one coming up soon, November 1st, the Great Outdoors with chili cook-off and shooting arrows and going crazy around here with camo gear. And then if you remember, we had Hot Rod Sunday and Motorcycle Sunday, yeah! And of course, Jazz and Rib Fest, right? All kinds of really cool big day ideas. But that's really something that really helped me through just a reassurance of knowing that God was with us, because we came up with volunteers for the first thing and resources to make this community a better community. And it really gave me reassurance. And so one of my great scriptures that I've held on to for many years is out of 1 Peter 3:6. And that says, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham, honoring him as head of the house. And if you do the same, Roxanne, You will be following in her footsteps like good daughters and doing what is right without fear. So that has been a really important scripture for me through the years, to know that God's got my back when I listen to my husband and I honor him with all the crazy ideas he has, all right? So, yeah, and it still is, as a wife, it's still difficult at times to listen to your husband and, like, go along with him. But it's God's blessing in our lives. And another favorite verse is, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I mean, I just know that my Father spoils me. He just has given me so many desires of my heart. And I really feel like God puts those desires in our heart when we're born. And then he develops them through the years in our lives. And along with that, it's like, I just know he has special things in all of your hearts. He's put them there, and he will develop them as you delight yourself in him. Right? Amen on that, right? Amen. So, I believe God has put, let's see. Oh, I hear it. Here's something else I wanted to say. I've enjoyed being on so many different areas in this church. One of my favorites has been on the worship team. Like, years ago, I was pretty involved on the worship team, and I just always had such a great time being on stage and worshiping God. I just felt the anointing of God all over me, which was so beautiful. And then I've got to be the director of Upward Soccer, and some of you guys know how cool Upward Soccer is. It's like you get your kids involved in team playing, and then you get someone sharing on before the games, sharing God's word. So it's like a double whammy for all of our families, right? And then I've got to be on the planning committees for the women's tees and the retreats we've had here for the ladies. And for years, like I think 20 years, I've been involved with the Mothers of Preschoolers program here in the church. And just watch young moms grow in connection with each other and building lifetime relationships, sharing their mama difficulties with each other. And then one of my favorites again is being a director of KidZone. And I still love those kids. I might end up back there again, I don't know. But it just thrills my heart to see these young students that I have had a part of their lives. Now they're in student ministry and they're serving in the church. Like, I give it up for Jamie Lynn on the worship team. Oh my gosh. We've been together since you were a little girl, right? Oh my gosh, and I just love to see how God's blossoming in your life. And then Skylar and Jackson Pritt in ministry, and Miguel, if you're up there, whoo-hoo, and sound ministry, and so many other of the young people already probably in the back serving in Kids Zone. So that has been real exciting for me to watch the kids growing up in the church, God giving them desires to be part of ministry. And so at the very end here, I just want to say that being involved in this ministry has really been a wonderful adventure for me and for Dave. And I know, and I'm very confident that God has called Chip and Kim here to pastor and love on every one of you, and hear from God, and our wonderful staff we have here. We have an amazing staff that never stops working, right? They never do, and I'm so confident that this, you know, they've already proven themselves through the years, and they're just going to keep doing a wonderful job. So thank you, everyone. Just love all of you. Thank you for coming and just being excited with us today.
Yes, yeah, so you know, people ask, what are we going to be doing? Roxanne and I are not going anywhere. This church is our family. We live here. We're not going anywhere. We're changing responsibilities. We're just changing responsibilities. And for me personally, I'm not retiring from being a pastor. This has been my heart's desire since I was a child. I always wanted to pastor. I never fully understood it, but as I grew older, I realized this was my heart's desire, my calling, and I'm honored and blessed that I got to do it here. But I'm not retiring. I like the phrase Pastor Emeritus, and I've shared that with some of you, but Pastor Emeritus kind of means, well, actually, it could kind of mean like, I think I'm still doing the stuff, and you guys know I'm not, but you just, you say, it's all right, Dave, you know. No. Pastor Emeritus means it's like an honorary position, but you're still doing the work, but just changing responsibilities. And so I'm staying on, and I will be involved in ministry here in the church. I'll be involved in ministry here in the community. I'll continue to do ministry in the church. I've talked with Chip on this. I'll still work with the clinics. They're the passion, desire of my heart. I love being a part of those. I'll still do our men's Bible study. Wednesday morning, I enjoy doing that. But I'll be getting more involved in the community. I'm working with the Reynoldsburg Police Department, putting a chaplaincy program together, which I'm really, really excited about. I believe we can make an impact on the city there. And I'll be helping out in the Vineyard Association, you know, wherever the need is. And then, of course, I have 8 grandchildren, so I'm really going to spend some time with them. And I'm really looking forward to the change in responsibilities. But what that means is I will no longer be leading the church. I will no longer be preaching regularly on Sunday. I'll preach as the need arises. I'll be preaching in a few weeks as we do our annual Hunter Sunday and the Great Outdoors. But that's changing. I'll no longer be on staff. I won't have an office here anymore. But 42 years, man, oh man, for the past week, just as we're getting ready for it, just memories going through my mind thinking, man, it creates, you know, 42 years in the same place, you create a lot of memories. So I just, those of you who know me, I'm a numbers person. So I just went back and did a little calculating. I thought, I'm pretty sure I've preached over 5,000 sermons here. 5,000 sermons. 5,000 sermons. Oh, that hurts my head. That's like about 45 times a year on Sunday, something like that. But and then midweek and different services, home Bible studies, you know, 5,000. We have tracked the water baptisms here, and we're over 1,000 people water baptized here. That's rich, man. That's just valuable. We've also done like over 100 baby dedications, and some of these are really kind of cool because we've dedicated babies, and since we've been here so long, those babies grew up, and over the past couple years, we started dedicating their babies. So you know. That's being in the same place a long time. We've done over 100 weddings, and recently, over the past few years, I got to do weddings of people who I did their weddings for, and their kids grew up, and I did their kids' weddings. So, amazing stuff. And because of the community that God has gathered here, you guys. I'm sure you realize this, or I hope you do. You're a unique group of people. You know, first of all, you're crazy enough to hang with us, but you join up with the crazy ideas, and we have done some, wow, fun, crazy, challenging, awesome things. And I look back and say, oh man, wow, like you know, a couple of them jump out. Building in the front section. Those of you that were around, you know, we did that 100 Saturdays. volunteer work, paying cash as we go, not having any idea what the heck we were doing, but sure had a lot of fun. Really had a lot of fun and put that building through so much wear and tear, but 100 Saturdays. And then right after that, kids started showing up on the, we had one section paved and kids showing up with their skateboards. And I said, oh man, let's do some skateboard ministry. And some of the guys said, well, we'll build ramps. And we built these huge ramps and had these skateboard outreaches. These kids were just out of control for years and just phenomenal experience. And then that got passed by, done, and we did the heavy metal Sunday service with about 100, 150 young people just playing this heavy Christian, you know, head banging, you know, and oh my gosh, you know, crazy, just crazy stuff. And then things like VBS, you know, we did our VBSs and we had some fun VBSs. We did the Jurassic Park, you know, we had a mastodon, huge mastodon in the back corner here, and we had dinosaurs, and we did the Space Odyssey, you know, Josh, yeah, we had the spaceship, you know, and we did the OK Corral, just fun. We did the oil change, single moms and senior citizens was a blast, a lot of fun there, a lot of parades, all kinds of floats. My favorite was when I was a sanctified sheriff, and a couple of my boys had the fun of being the devil, walking behind me with a hangman's noose, cleaning up the horse poop. I know they're kind of, you know, they never recover from that, but, you know, kind of certain prices you pay, you know. And, of course, we had a 10-year run with Hell Stop. I mean, that was like, you know, wow, yeah, yeah. A lot of wonderful stories. We tracked about, we're sure over 50,000 people came through during those 10 years. Just a phenomenal outreach there. And then of course, we did our motorcycle hot rod Sunday. Got to drive my motorcycle right up on the stage here. And, oh, my gosh, parades, you know, hot rods. I think this coming Hunter Sunday, the Great Outdoors, this is our 22nd year doing this. So we'll be celebrating Hunter Sunday, the Great Outdoors, chili cook-off, and things like shooting arrows across the stage, hoping no one gets killed, you know, that kind of stuff. And holiday celebrations, Christmas. Man, we had, we had live nativities outside, freezing cold. We had a petting zoo until the animals escaped and ran all over the city. Got called by the police and the news. We stopped that one. We, you know, Christmas Eve stories, TSO, Christmas plays. And then our Easter services. So, you know, we've been tracking those offerings, and we're well over $1 million. I mean, this is where you realize this takes a lot of people. $1 million that you have given, that we have given to feed children in Haiti. We have given to buy over 6,000 wheelchairs, water conditioners, clean water along the Amazon. Just phenomenal service. And then 8 years of Jazz and Rib Fest until I got sick and tired of being rained out every year. I think of the eight years, six of them we had hurricane weather. Blew down the tents. I mean, just unbelievable. But sure, it was a lot of fun. And then lately, we're going on 13 years with our clinics. You know, medical clinic, pregnancy clinic, vision clinic, legal clinic, tax preparation clinic, hair cutting clinic, computer repair clinic, and really one of my favorites, the bicycle repair. And we've given away several hundred bicycles to little kids. So, you know, just great stuff. But here's what I want to say. The best part, truly the best part, those are fun, those are challenging, but truly the best part is working with all of you and watching you make your connections with God. I mean, I live for that. Watching you grow in your relationship with God, watching you grow in your understanding of kingdom principles, watching you get involved in serving. I'm passionate about everybody has a gift, everybody has a calling, and watching you get involved serving someplace, man, you know, that brings satisfaction to my soul. I've laughed with a lot of you. I've cried with a lot of you. I've built lifelong friendships, and I treasure them. But today we do pass the responsibility of leading and caring for the church to Pastor Chip. Now this is where we're at today. I want to tell you, this is a solid man of God. I've known Chip going on 20 years here, and his love for God is real. It's real. And his love for his family is healthy. And his love for this church is deep. And what I like about it is Chip keeps them in that order. His love for God, his love for his family, and his love for the church. And I think, you know, the really cool thing is Chip owns the vision of this church. Serve God, serve people. He owns it. And I tell you, I think he's going to make a great lead pastor. I think Chip's going to take this church to the next level, and I'm excited about being a part of that. So I'm going to take a break here. What we've done this morning, we've invited several pastors, pastor friends of ours, and asked them if they'd come up and just share a little bit. We have three pastors here with us this morning. Michael Hansen is here. He is pastor of a Vineyard church up in Delaware County. Michael's also a area leader in the Vineyard Association. Michael and I co-lead a group of about 10 or so Vineyard pastors. Joel Seymour is here. He's a regional leader. He's over about 8 areas, 50-plus Vineyard churches, helps support them, helps us as area leaders. And then we've got Josh Poissons here. Josh was on staff with us for a number of years. Josh is currently pastoring, lead pastor at Kettering. So we'll just give him a few minutes here. Michael, why don't you come on up here?
Well, hey, thanks so much. It really is an honor to be here with you and to be part of this service. I'm really excited for Dave. I'm really excited for you, Chip. But I'm also really excited for you as a church family. I was going through this very same thing a little over 2 years ago. And one of the things a service like this really reminds us of, where, you know, we've got a passing of the torch, is that people, pastors, are temporary. In a little bit here, you know, Dave's going to be officially handing over the keys, if you will, of the church. And before you know it, Chip, you're going to be in Dave's shoes, and you're going to be handing this church off to someone else, and that'll be on and so on and so on. And so today, a service like this is a reminder of we are temporary, but Jesus is constant. And so I'm excited for you as a church, because this church always has been and always will be in really good hands, and that's the hands of Jesus. So I'm excited for you. You can clap to that, because that's a really good thing. Woo! All right. I feel a bit of Dave Deani coming on me up here. Hey, my hair. No, okay. But I'm sorry, Dave. I'm here. It's not a roast. I have to remind myself this is not a roast. But boy, I... But you know, so when I let me start with you, Dave. When I sat down and just started thinking about today and thinking about you, instantly the words came to my mind, well done. 40 plus years of ministry. To me, that is like amazing. And think about it. God alone knows how many lives you guys have blessed, how many people you've pointed to Jesus. I think one day when you get to heaven, you'll find that out. But I just think that is awesome. And so there's a lot of things I could say to you today. But if I have to pick one, it would be this. The Apostle Peter gave a charge to fellow pastors. He said this in 1 Peter 5. He said, "As a fellow elder, I appeal to you, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly. Not for what you will get out of it, but because you are eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your good example." And as I read that, I thought, that's right, Dave Deani, you know, well done that you have done that. And I really do want to commend you that you have willingly embraced the job that the Lord had for you in caring for this flock. It's so obvious in knowing you and in watching him, I'm sure the congregation could amen this, that you weren't doing this for your own gain. You were doing this because you love Jesus, and because you want to please Jesus, and because you love people, and you want other people to come to know Jesus. And what's cool about this is it gives us a picture of the reward that's coming for you. It says, because of your faithfulness in this task that God has given you, Peter says in verse 4, "And when the great shepherd appears," Dave Deani, Roxanne Deani, "you will receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor." So I bless you guys today and say, well done. And then for you, Chip, I want to say the words to you that my predecessor said to me on the day when I took over our church, and it was, don't screw it up. And that's the truth. That's the truth. So I have that on the wall in my office now, and I live in fear, constant fear. I'm a pretty anxious. I'm like an anxious little rabbit. But seriously, but Chip, you know what? I have loved you from the first day I met you. You are a beautiful man. You're a pure-hearted man. You hang around Chip, and you quickly realize that he, like what you were saying, Dave, that you love Jesus and that you love people. Again, there's lots of things I could say, but if I have to pick one, I'm going to say this. There's a familiar story in Luke 9, the feeding of the 5,000, where, you know, they're all gathered around listening to Jesus. And in verse 12 of chapter 9, it says, late in the afternoon, the 12 disciples came to him and said, hey, Jesus, basically, send the crowds away to the nearby villages and farms so they can find food and lodging for the night. There's nothing to eat here in this remote place. And then Jesus says to them what he really says is saying to you today, Chip. Jesus said, guys, actually, you feed them. He gives them this impossible task. And their response is, what? We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Or are you expecting us to go and buy enough food for this whole crowd? For there are 5,000 men here. And I want to stop there and say, Chip, I think you are already discovering this, but one of the things you will discover is that the demand of ministry, the demand or the amount of needs will always be more than you can give. But again, Jesus still says to you, feed my sheep. And here's something that is so powerful and life-giving in this little story, that there's a biblical principle, and really I charge you with this today, and my prayer for you is that you would remember, never forget this and remember it often, that all God requires of you in regards to feeding the people and meeting the needs is that you merely give to him what you have to give. He doesn't expect you to go out and buy food or become something different. He doesn't expect you to be someone else. All he asks of you is you be Chip. And you give what you have to give. And look, to end the story off, it says, look what Jesus does with what they have to give. Verse 16, it says, Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, all that they had, looked up toward heaven and blessed them. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread and the fish to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people, so that they could feed the people. They all ate as much as they wanted. And afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. Again, I charge you today that in his hands, who you are and what you have to give will always be more than enough. So bless you. I love you both. I'm proud of you both. And enjoy your day. Now I want to introduce my brother from another mother. This is Joel Seymour. Woo!
Well, it is an honor and privilege to be here. My name is Joel Seymour. My wife, Christy, is able to be here today with me also, and so it's just good to be with you all. Representing the region of Ohio and West Virginia and Western Pennsylvania of the Vineyard and the family that you all are a part of. And so I know it's probably 20 years ago or so when I first met Dave and Roxanna officially. And I know when I first met them, I was incredibly just impressed with them. I remember Dave being incredibly inquisitive. They were just deciding whether to come into the Vineyard movement, and so he's asking a lot of questions. I remember you, Dave, being hard-charging, passionate for Jesus, passionate to lead people to Jesus. And I can just remember, too, the king, and this has already been said, but just the king of big events. I laughed and I loved the times we'd have area meetings together, and I was just a young pastor, and I would ask Dave about events he was doing, and he told the story about riding his Harley up or shooting the arrow across the stage or field dressing a deer. I don't think he ever did that, but all his stories from Hell Stop, and I was just impressed, and I shouldn't have been surprised, though, because I was one of those teens in the back building during the heavy metal worship services in the 80s. I didn't go to this church, but a buddy of mine, we would come, you know, and do the glam metal holy, holy, holy thing, and still have the sore neck to prove it. All of that is impressive, but You know, I first knew you, Dave, as passionate, the big event guy, and kind of the pastoral leadership guru. I can remember calling you about ideas, and you would share leadership things that you had and tips, and even came and spoke to our leaders on a couple occasions. And so I knew Dave to be that kind of a guy, and those attributes have encouraged me over the years. But what has encouraged me more is getting to know the heart of Dave and Roxanna. The passion is still there. Obviously, you still love Jesus. That's still there. But it's kind of like holding up a diamond and just seeing different facets of you two and the depth that you have that has impressed me the most. I've seen them express their love for people in their church, even as you've expressed hurts at times, as it hurts at times leading people, and you've expressed those. I've seen deep humility. I've seen Dave care deeply for relationships and go the extra mile to make sure relationships work out and to reconcile anything he needs to, and I've been impressed by that. And I got to tell you, I was impressed with Dave and Roxanna when I first met them, but I'm even more impressed now because of that depth that I've got to witness working more closely with them. You know, what impresses me is over 42 years of following Jesus, they've not lost their love for Jesus, they've not lost their love for his church, but more importantly, they've not lost their love for one another and for their kids, and that has impressed me deeply. Amen. 20 years ago when my first son was born, I began to hear Mark 8:36 differently than it's written. The way it's written is, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? And for 20 years, I have heard that verse completely different. I have heard it as, what does it profit a pastor to gain the whole church world and yet lose his family? And every time I hear it, that rings in my head. You two are to be commended. For you, you've actually done both. You have gained the church world. You have been a leader in this city. You have been the pastors of a sizable church. You've seen many people come to know Jesus. You've helped to birth a sizable church that you planted, and it's been incredible. And yet you've kept your family. You've kept your marriage. You have kids who love Jesus, and I don't know if there's much greater reward on this side of heaven than that, and so you are to be commended. Not only that, they have not only kept their family, they have kept their soul growing throughout this whole thing. They've not only survived in growing a large church, they've actually thrived in it personally and as a couple. They've just grown, and that's hard to do. To lead this well and to grow a church and to keep your soul. You've done well also in this transition. It's hard to let go. Many people do it too fast because they don't want to go through the rigor more of it, but others do it way too slow, and you've done it just right by raising up Chip and Kim. Well done. We should commend these two. I want to turn to Chip and Kim I was reading a book recently on Pope Francis called Why He Leads the Way He Leads, and the author relays a quote by Nelson Mandela, and he says this. He said, my greatest enemy was not those who put or kept me in prison. It was myself. I was afraid to be who I am. Amazing. He is on the Robbins Prison Island for 2 decades of his life. He is allowed 1 visitor a year. He is allowed to receive 1 letter every 6 months. The only work he's allowed to do is to pick up a hammer and break big rocks into smaller rocks for 20 years, day after day, year after year. And yet he says, my greatest enemy was as I was afraid to be who I am. My charge to you two is to be who you are. While God called Dave and Roxanna for the first 42 years of this church, he has called you two for this season. In fact, God has called Chip and Kim to lead at this stage. Do not be afraid of who you are. God knows your gifts, your passions, your interests, your personalities. He even knows your quirks. And all of those are needed right now. Do not be afraid of who you are. Ephesians 2:10 says that you are God's workmanship, that you are the pastors that God needs right now for this season and that this church needs, to do the good works that he's prepared in advance for you to do. Do not be afraid of who you are. Be the Chip and Kim that God created you to be. Yes, amen. I'll let you in on a little secret. This church has grown. This city has been impacted. Many, many people have been impacted for Jesus. Multiple generations, as Dave was even talking about, multiple generations have been impacted because these two were not afraid to be who they were. All the crazy things we've just talked about that Dave had ideas for is what this church needed at this time and what this city and this county needed at that time. And guess what? It happened because they were not afraid to be who they were. And it's going to be the same for you. That if you will not be afraid of who God has created you two to be, then this church will do very well. So do not be afraid of who you are. Let me just close by my time by reminding you of who you are before pastors and leaders. You are followers and lovers of Jesus, so do not be afraid to be who you are. First and foremost, you are lovers and followers of Jesus. You are the kind of couple who are in love for a lifetime, husband and wife. Do not be afraid of who you are. You are fully engaged parents, mom and dad. Do not be afraid of who you are. And you are called by God to be the unique leaders he has called you to be. Do not be afraid of who you are. Do not be afraid of who you are. Do not be afraid of who you are. Amen. I have the privilege of introducing Josh, and so Josh, would you come up? And the really exciting thing is he did not get the memo that this wasn't a roast, so we're in for a treat.
Come on. Wow, it is great to be here today and to celebrate with you. We've been looking forward to this day. My name is Josh Plasanson. He's the kids pastor, came here back in 2001. Actually, 2002 we came. And I remember seeing at my house and emailing Pastor Dave back on AOL, you know, back where the back in the days when you had to have dial-up and listen to that awful noise. And I messaged him on a Friday, and I said I had seen the ad for a children's pastor. And I was like, oh, okay, let me send it in. And so I sent my request in to him, and he's like, well, you know, we're down to three right now. That was on Friday, but go ahead and send your resume anyways. So I sent my resume in, and on Sunday afternoon or evening, I got a message back. Hey, thanks for the resume. You're now in the top two. When can you come? And it was such a quick turnaround, and picking up at the airport was Mark Poland and now Pastor Mark, and being there through this season and coming. And Dave, I remember my parents came and sat on right over here in this section back in the day. And my parents, even to this day, still have not given their lives to Christ. And we came with one child, and my parents came down, and you just looked at them and you said, we're going to take care of your kids. And that, from that day, they haven't missed any of the moves that we have made and been part of those opening days, because they that was such an impact on them. You know, shortly after we came, we hadn't had insurance yet, and we got pregnant with our second child. And I remember sitting in the office and saying, I got good news and I got bad news. Good news is we're pregnant. The bad news, we don't have insurance yet. And you just looked at it and you said, there's no bad news. We're gonna celebrate. We're going to walk this through. And, you know, the multiple times that we have walked through, Dave, you're a man of immense integrity, not only publicly out in front, but in private. It is an honor for Stacy and I to have worked on your staff, even though sometimes we didn't always appreciate like we should have that time that we were here. But I remember the stories, and it's always you and I, we email or text or whatever. I messaged him last night and I said, what's the attire for today? And he's like, oh, it's you know, Vineyard, so come comfortable. I said, oh, okay. And I said, darn, I was hoping to wear my Batman outfit, you know, like, some of you don't know, I mean, like, one, we bought, this is P.T. Barnum of ministry, okay? If you want a name for Pastor Dave, it's P.T. Barnum, okay? There is, There is not an idea. Kristen and all of us sitting in this back room on planning days, trying to work out different things. Like, what are we going to do this year? What's the big thing that's going to happen? Oh, that was so lame last year. Let's make it bigger, you know. Oh, I came with the idea when we bought the inflatables, and then I say Batman because one Sunday there was an inflatable right here. And Batman fought Superman, I think it was. It was part of the sermon. It was like, you talk about the apple being shot across, you know, shot across the room. We had that conversation in a staff meeting and said, what do you think? Do we have somebody hold it? Do we have somebody like protect over there? Do we, like, all the stuff to figure that out. That was like, yeah, sweet Jesus, that nobody got hurt all these years. Right? Oh my gosh, I remember you were always innovative. I remember when I sat in your office and you're like, Joshua, I have a Palm Pilot and I have a phone. I am tired of carrying two. I want you to go down and I want you to figure out how do we get them together. My job was to go to the local store, maybe Sam's at that point, and they had the old Palm Pilot phone thingamajibber, and we had it folded up, and he's like, oh, beautiful. I mean, it was just like, it was wonderful. I was in charge of maintenance around here, and I remember back when they were looking for Osama bin Laden, I had a cleaning guy come in. And you remember that, Darcy? I had a cleaning guy come in, and he offered me some supplies, and I was doing that, and so I bought it. And he's like, "Hey, Pastor, I know really, you know, like I got something for you." He pulls out a urinal screen with Osama bin Laden's face on it. Do you remember that? I put it in the men's room down in the staff hallway. And I just sat outside the bathroom waiting for him because, you know, as at the age you were, you just kept going back and forth to that room because you drank a lot of water. And you just had to wait long enough outside that room and you just hear this laugh. Oh, because Osama bin Laden was, yeah. Anyways, we all joke about Biker Sunday, but as the maintenance guy, Biker Sunday was something more for me because when Dave decided to ride in the back door and come up on the platform, we cut the carpet right here. Yeah, caught it right there. And, well, that's the maintenance guy's job. Let's do it. Let's get it fixed. But, Roxanna, you came in the bike, on the back of the bike. like she was Vanna White or something. She just came in and, like, hey. Oh, you know, at some point she, like, Rox, you just live in this zone which we love. It's like everything is always new and fresh, and you just she always looks at the good side of things, and she had to because Dave would come home with those ideas. Man, HealthStop, I was the guy that burned HealthStop down. I came in the 10th year of HealthStop, and I remember I practice. Mike, you taught me how to. Where did I see Mike? Was just back. Mike, you taught. You used to be Satan. Maybe. No. I remember you taught me, and I had all the words, and I had to practice, and all those things. And I was up there, and I got to do it one night. And my wife was in the kids' nursery working, and she said, "Anybody seen Pastor Josh?" I said, "She goes, he's the devil tonight." So we still, but we burned that. We stored all that stuff, and you didn't know what it was. I mean, HealthStop, watching the video, all kinds of stuff from the past. That was, I remember, one of the greatest things about that was the preaching. They had the preaching tents, and you would share the gospel. And people would walk through a door and have to make a decision instantly about where they were. And different people standing outside waiting to engage and encourage folks. What an amazing time. Thank you so much for your love for this community. That has resonated so much in myself, having been a lead pastor. I walked through this transition. I'll share about that in a minute. But your love for this community, and just to do whatever it takes, whatever short of sin, really? Short of sin to reach people for Jesus. And if it meant pushing over the edge, that was so good. I remember asking a question at one time, you know, even with Rod Parsley's church around the corner at the time, and I kind of came in with a negative attitude at one point. You sat me down and you just said, Josh, I remember when Rod started and he called and he lived down here or something, and he called and talked to you and prayed, and you just spoke like such honor that today I, even as I've served in leadership in the assemblies and done, and as a pastor, just said I would call up my pastors and leaders because of the way they would speak sometimes against somebody else. But it goes back to that meeting in your office that we do it. Speaking of offices, my office still is not clean. Even he always would make me close my door because he like, and then when I go on vacation, Darcy would clean it. So that was even better. Praise God. It's why maybe you just sent me on vacation on purpose. You know, if he's on vacation, Darcy will clean the office. I learned under you that structure and Jesus is good. Under Jesus is good. We, for so many times in a Pentecostal church, you say, well, you can't have structure because is that following the leading of the Holy Spirit? And it was and is. And it's such a healthy balance. Rox, just as my wife has been given this, I think you deserve this too, sainthood. We, you know, they high-five each other. We both have drug our wives through a lot of stuff. Now, willingly, they said yes, and they knew it before we got married. But you know, just the time and your love and just sharing MOPS. I mean, hello, the 20-plus years of leading in MOPS and that investment in our lives and my wife's life. You know, it's been echoed here today. I'm going to echo it, that you are always preparing for a legacy, but not your legacy. You were preparing for the legacy of what the Lord had for this place. And, you know, what a transition. I was there when we made the decision about becoming a Vineyard church. And in that season, and what it was, and you said, you know, 85% of pastors, that, you know, whatever the number was, a church is, if they don't have a past, if they're not connected to a denomination or a network of churches, will close within 2 years. And that drove so much of your heart and your spirit to say, listen, I want to make sure that this goes on for many years beyond. And that's a different level that many of you don't understand of serving in those places in the church. Say it again, you're a leader with immense integrity. 42 years. There's a statistic out there that 85% of pastors who start in ministry don't retire in ministry. 85%. We've seen, and I don't know about you guys with the Vineyard and the assemblies, we've seen a lot of pastors not make it in this season of COVID. And they just get burned out and tired. But 42 years. I am honored to have served on your staff. And honored, I just say thank you for your leadership and your wisdom and your investment that will go beyond. There are people that don't even know, that you don't even know yet. I mean, people in Kettering, Ohio are getting an impact because of what you guys did in our lives, and that continues on. You look at Simon and, you know, when the church planted and when all that whole, when we brought that Australian to Ohio, you know, that was, the amount of times you're on the phone with the IRS, you're like, every time, it's a different response. I'm like, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But to see that investment in what God's done. So we just say thank you, and just on behalf of your staff that has served alongside of you guys for so long. It was just it was 2 years ago that I transitioned my church from, I was the lead pastor in Toledo, and I transitioned. I'm only 42, and I felt that a season of change was coming. And so we raised up the next level of pastor, brought a pastor back, and I invested in him. And over a course of 18 months, turned that church over just about 16 months ago to a good friend. And Dave, we sat down for dinner, and we were talking about it, and you were kind of getting ready for this, getting ready to start it. And you're like, all right, how's it going? What's your time frame? We had some great food, and we just sat and talked about this transition process. This process was started almost 20 years ago, and this guy came in, and I want you to know that you can tell me you're welcome, you know, tell me thank you later, okay? Because I was the man that hired this man. You're like, what? You're like, I hired him to be the custodian of this church. Yeah. So he's cleaned up all the toilets. Well, he's cleaned up too, right away. He's cleaned the toilets. He's scraped the gum. He's done all those kind of things. But Chip, all the way from the very beginning, you're working at the school as a custodian. You were single at the time. And Jesus had a plan that, you know, as we walked through this season. And you worked with me in kids ministry, started back there. And when I transitioned out of kids and was doing a variety of other projects, it took two guys to replace me, Mark and Chip, and both these guys, just the privilege to, I mean, this was a great era and a great season to see. And Mark's in my office now where we were at, and Chip this morning as I walked down the hallway to see, just kind of walk down the staff and see lead pastor on that wall. Today's a big day that you're embarking on a new journey. As much as they have talked about being yourself, I want to tell you that today, spiritually, things are going to change. Today, spiritually, the mantle of weight that's going to be over here is shifting to you guys. And how you carry that weight and how you deal with that mantle will, let me just say this, you don't have to carry that mantle by yourself. Utilize those that are around you. Realize this, that all hell will break loose against you at times. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When those times come, I tell you, I've had dreams even in the church where we are today. And I'll wake up, I'll be up in the middle of that. Because now that weight, the enemy, if they're not going to attack this direction. Now they're coming, it's like it's being, and it's always good. It's like, if you're under attack, that means you're headed in the right direction. Don't run away. Be who you are. Don't run away. And family, everybody, just be ready for whatever's coming. When the attack comes, pull in the board, pull in the staff, and just say, hey, is anybody else? So many times there's a dream that's coming to me, and it's come to the same on my staff or one of my board members. And together we attack these things and go for it. You're going to see sometimes where maybe there's going to be tension in your house. And realize that maybe it's not only you, but it's the other staff members too and other leaders. Recognize that as a spiritual attack and address it as a spiritual attack. It's not about you. The enemy will do anything he can. You have celebrated. You've been under good leadership. And I'm not speaking the curse, but I'm speaking the warning. Many times we don't want to talk about that side. And those are the things that will bump. Be who you are. Stay true to the word. Stay true to that heart of serving and heart of leading. You have led the church even in this season as co-pastor through even great tragedy over the last couple months. And in that, to know that this body loves you, this people, you deserve the role that you're about to take. There is, when we pray over you today and pass that mantle to you, you don't have to do anything to deserve it. You've already earned it. The Lord has chosen you already. And so upon your shoulders, we will place the mantle. Upon your shoulders, we're calling out the gift that God has given to you guys. This is the season. This is the time. Don't ever question. Look back on this day and remember, God, you appointed, you called. This has been 20 years in the making for what God's been preparing for today. I'm extremely excited about what God's going to do and where he's going to lead. You may not be the P.T. Barnum of all, but the good thing is you still got P.T. Barnum in your back pocket. And every once in a while, when he starts pushing on you, just walk down that hallway and go in that, pull that little sign outside of your door and say, what does this say on the bottom of the sign? It says, lead pastor. All right? And you just remember that. because why? Because there's such great love. And what a blessing that you guys are going to really be able to get to do this together. You have been, but how the roles switch. And as I watch the guy that's taken my role, we talk all the time, and it's so great. And he just comes back and asks, hey, how did you deal with this? How do you deal with that? What do you do with those things? An immense place of wealth here. It's Kim and Chip and your family. We just are excited. We're excited to see what yet to come. Don't feel the pressure and be all right. It's all right to tell these people no. Say, I'm just waiting to hear what the Lord's saying. Because that when you have the spiritual authority, you have the leadership, and when it's time, you'll begin to walk through those things. And who knows? Who knows how things are going to walk out? Who knows how things are? But you're just going to be faithful. One of my professors in my master's class this week said, "What would you want on your tombstone?" And I said the word faithful. You know, it's just be faithful. Don't worry about having to, you can press the limits, you can do these things, but just be faithful to what God has called and how he's placed that mantle upon you guys. Church, it's an exciting day for you. It really is. This is not normal. This process, a lot of churches don't get to go through. A lot of churches get their pastor ripped away, or there's a decision, or they move on, and all of a sudden they go on and do their thing, and yet the church seems to be reeling about where it's going. The great thing about this process is you don't have to step back and wait for a year or 2 years for your pastor, for you to get to know your pastor and your pastor to get to know you. The opportunity to continue on right where the steps are moving. And there are new steps that are going to be put in the snow. There are going to be new steps going forward. And man, what an exciting day. So Stacy and I, we are cheering you guys on. And we're cheering you guys on. So amen. Why don't you welcome Pastor Chip.
Woo! Well, there's no pressure. A little bit. Looks like we're going to be going a little bit longer than normal here today, but that's all right. So I just wanted to, I felt like I would start at the beginning. So I was born I've done a lot of thinking about what am I going to say today? And I've done a lot of thinking in the past couple of weeks about this church and where we've come and what God has done in my life. And do you know what the craziest thing is? 19 years ago to this day is when I walked into this church. And we didn't plan October 18th, 2020 to be this day. But about 3 weeks ago, I woke up and I was like, wait a minute. The third Sunday in October, that is 19 years to the day is when I walked into this church. And when I walked into the doors in the sanctuary, it was almost audible. I heard the words, "You're home." And then I wanted to fit right in where everybody was at, so I chose the second to last row. And stayed there for a while. But when I think of all of the things that God has done, the arranging, the rearranging, me meeting my meeting Kim, how he brought me here to this church, 42 years ago when Pastor Dave and Roxanna set out to start this church, God saw this day happening 42 years ago. And something that Pastor Dave and I always talk about is this was never his church. It's not my church. It's not really even our church. It's God's church. It's God's church. And if we continue to stay open to what he has for us and move where he's moving, we're going to be a church that is unstoppable. We're going to be a church that will be more diverse than any church out here. We will be a church that will follow the dreams and the vision of the leaders here on the leadership team here. And maybe every now and then we'll break out a big circus day just in honor of Pastor Dave. Maybe. But you know, something else that I was thinking of is you know, I grew up in a great family. I have great parents that are here. I've watched my dad work hard. I've watched him overcome obstacles. I've watched him overcome all kinds of things to make sure that the family had what we needed. His motto is, you plan your work and you work your plan. And then I come here and I And I work under Pastor Josh's leadership and Pastor Day's leadership. And again, I'm under the leadership of some great men of God who are driven to do the things that God has set them out to do. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for all the ways that God rearranged things in order for me to be here serving you. And so I'm just going to, something that popped into my head is from Jeremiah chapter 29. And I know this verse well. And I woke up this morning, I was like, thanks, God. That's really nice of you to be thinking of me today. But then he said, this isn't for you. This verse is for the church. I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. And so, church, God's got our best interest in mind. We're in a time where we don't even know what next month is going to look like. But God has this church's best interest in mind. And all the things that we think are surprises in our lives are things that he has already ordained and saw coming down the road. I've learned everything that I know. I've learned 98% of what I know about ministry from Pastor Dave. And that is, you serve your church. You love your people. And just like Pastor Dave said, my priority is God, my family, and then the ministry. That should be all of our priorities. But church, I'm going to tell you something. We titled this Sunday The Next Chapter because the next chapter is going to be exciting. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a little bit different, but it isn't going to be any different than what we've been doing. But I am so excited. And also, if, you know, you might kind of wonder, I don't know, is Chip kind of losing it? Is he, I don't know what's going on. I'm surrounded by the best. I've got Pastor Dave. I've got Pastor Josh. I've got Michael Hansen, Joel Seymour. These are solid men of ministry that are in my life, that I know any obstacle, and even Mark Poland, any obstacle. Yeah. Poor Mark. You know what? Poor Mark. He's always like this after, like, you say names and you're like, oh yeah, then there's Mark. Or, you know, I'm so hard on him. But he's great. He takes it and he just smiles and he says, you're funny, Chip. But I feel like I'm surrounded by the best. And the best wife, family, and kids. So we're in good hands, church. All of us, we're in good hands. Amen? Well, whew, that's all I'm going to say for right now. I'm sure I'll have plenty more to say in the weeks to come as the sermons get longer. Longer. No, I'm just kidding. But listen, at this time, I want to invite up Pastor Dave and Roxana and Michael and Joel and Josh, and we're going to pray a blessing over. Oh, and Mark Poland. See, there it is again. So each of us are just going to pray a blessing over Pastor Dave and Roxana. So I'll start. And, oh, God, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for the faithfulness of Pastor Dave and Roxana, God. I thank you, Jesus, for the vision and the drive that you've placed in them, God. I thank you, Jesus, for the things that I've learned from them, God. The integrity, God. The servanthood, God. The things that it takes, Lord Jesus, to be successful in the ministry and not let the ministry pull you down. I thank you for that, Jesus. The lives that they've invested in and changed in their run here. And I know angels are rejoicing in heaven And Jesus is cheering you on. Well done, good and faithful servants. But your ride isn't over yet. There's still more to do. So God, I just bless Pastor Dave and Roxanna and their next chapter in life, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Jesus, we thank you that you're retreading, not retiring, this couple. Lord, we thank you that they are just being prepared for what is yet to come. Lord, we just pray a blessing upon them, Lord, that no weapon formed against them will prosper. Lord, we pray, God, that you protect them, that you give them good health and good season, Lord God. Father, we pray for financial blessings and just miracles still to come before them. Lord, we call upon the wisdom and the gifts and the things that are within both of them to speak life into pastors and leaders and others that you bring into their path. Lord, we don't want them to even think that they're shelved, but Father, may they be just engaged to a new level, Lord God. Father, increase the vision and the dreams and the wonders. And Lord, as they look and just see the enjoyment and enjoy this season, Lord, we bless them. Lord, take them to new places. Take them to new seasons and new things, Lord. Father, I pray that you allow them to return even to their roots. Father, we just thank you for the hippies among them, Lord God, that they're going to see and bring life back. May peace be upon them, Jesus. Lord, we thank you, God, for the wisdom and the love that's bestowed between these two, Lord God. Lord, we honor them today before you, and we bless them before you, Lord God, today. Jesus.
If I'm not able to get through this, you finish it, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for Dave and Roxanne. I thank you for grabbing hold of their hearts and placing a deep desire to follow you and a passion to see lives brought into your kingdom. Lord, I ask, and we all agree together, that they will enjoy the fruit of their labor for years to come. Yes. That you will provide the connection of people from the very beginning of their ministry and the following generations that they have been impacted by their obedience to your call. Let them I love you guys. Let them have cherished times. Man. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. I need glasses. Let them have cherished times of those that have. Let them have cherished times of those that carry their DNA and of those that they are dear to their heart. Lord, I just praise you for my brother, for my sister. Bless them. Walk with them. Just continue to direct their path. In your name.
So, I just have a scripture came to mind, just Jesus sitting with the disciples. I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. And I bless you guys with that, that you've known friendship with Jesus and you'll continue to know friendship with Jesus. But I pray that you could, I just see the Lord just blessing you with some just a special understanding and experience of friendship with him this side of heaven. And so as you shift gears into this new season, I bless your friendship with Jesus. So bless him, Lord.
And on that too, I just had a sense that I was just to simply pray for an anointing. I don't know how many of you sitting there understand this as far as have felt it before in your life, but what these two are going through is they're sensing a shift of anointing. The anointing has, for this house, has gone from them to Chip and Kim. And so it's a good thing. and you're going to benefit from that, but it can be hard as leaders to see that shift. But what I felt like was that we were to pray, and would you all join me maybe and reach out your hands? Let's just pray a new filling of the Holy Spirit and a new anointing on this couple. So we pray in the strong name of Christ right now that the Holy Spirit that lives in you would just burst out of your hearts to new levels, that fill new areas of your life right now. There would be a new anointing on you right now in Jesus' name for this season. Even as you have sensed the last few years, and particularly the last few weeks and months, just a shift of that anointing towards Chip and Kim to be the leaders of this place and this family, that you would sense the Lord is anointing you for this next season, that He has more and better for you in this next season. Part of that is even what Michael prayed, that there would be a new anointing for friendship and intimacy with Jesus. And so I pray for that. I also pray just a new anointing as you have been so blessed to be evangelists. We pray for a new season of that, of just your ministry career started that way, your calling started that way, and it has continued that way as you've led this church. We pray for a new anointing on evangelism and bringing other people to Christ, even as you're going to do it differently and be involved in different relationships and in ways that you would still say, man, the Holy Spirit is flowing through us to see people come to know Jesus. So bless this couple, Holy Spirit. Fill them up right now in your name.
Well, so now we officially turn it over to you, Chip. That's a certificate that's you can open it. It officially places in your hands the care. It's a real certificate, yeah. So we are placing into your hands, Chip, the leadership and the care. I'm excited because I've worked with you these past 20 years, and man. Well, I'll get her up in a minute. But I've worked with you for, 20 years, Chip, and I stand here to say this morning, I'm going to support you, man. I'm with you, and I really am excited. And I want to give you this. It's a gift. Let me hold this. This is maybe just something to help remind you of what a pastor's job is. It's a little sculpture, and it's a sculpture of Jesus washing Peter's feet. And when Jesus at the Last Supper washed the disciples' feet, he was embodying what he had said earlier, that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And you know my heart, and I'm just giving this to you to say, Chip, remember, your job is to serve. You're to serve the staff. You're to serve the people in this church. You're to serve your family. You're to serve the community. You're to follow in Jesus' footsteps, and there it is. He's embodied it. And Kim, would you come up? We want to take a minute. Let's pray over Chip and Kim.
So this was the first gift he's given me that wasn't a knife.
Well, I did look at those. Here, stand right up here, Tim. You and Kim. Yeah. Let's pray over these guys here. Well, Father, we present before you and before our church here our new pastor and his wife, God, that we stand with. And truly, God, there is an anointing that is resting upon him, God. And I do feel it. I see it. I see it clearer than I've ever seen it before. And we bless it, God. We bless it. We pray it would expand and just be a wonderful experience. Go before them, God. Keep them healthy. Keep them safe. Use them, God, to make the impact that you have ordained for this church.
Yeah, And just since I have, is just simply as a representative of the Vineyard Movement, we don't make pastors. In fact, even the leadership of this church, even Dave, has not made you a pastoral team. I have not made you Chip, the senior pastor. That's simply what we are doing today is recognizing that God has set you apart for this time. And so, as those gathered around you, we just say, we sense the Lord on you. We see the calling of God on your life. We see that He has set you apart to be the senior pastor. We've seen that both of you are called to be leaders of this church in this city for this time. And so in the strong name of Jesus, we pray for you, even as we prayed for Dave and Roxanna. We pray for a new filling of the Holy Spirit for this season. We pray even now you would sense the Spirit of the living God welling up within you, giving you the wisdom and the courage and the kindness that you need for this season, giving you eyes to see what lies ahead, that you could be the captain of this ship that the Lord has given you for this season. And may you always know that Jesus is ultimately the captain of this ship. In any storm you may go through, may you even realize He's even the commander of the storm, that He has you from all directions. In Jesus' name.
And I'm just reminded of a passage at Ecclesiastes I always quote in weddings, where a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. And I see that, you know, the couple being wound together, but there's that center cord, that center strand that holds it together, and that's Jesus. And so we bless your marriage today. We bless you to be wrapped tightly around each other and around Jesus. And we pray for a new chapter in your relationship of friendship, of enjoyment of one another. I pray that you would just be an awesome team, encouraging each other where one is strong, encouraging the one who's weak, and vice versa. So we bless your marriage today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Father, we pray today for a fresh baptism of fire, a baptism of your presence, Lord God, to be upon them, Lord God. Father, I pray that the word would come alive, Lord, that the years and the prayers that have been soaked in that office would come into fruition, and Chip would just be able to grow and beyond this, even where Dave has been, Lord God. We pray for the anointing and the call. We place a demand on the gifts that you've given to this couple to be used for this season and this time. May they be activated and be released even now in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that they would speak life, that they would command into the heavenlies and break apart principalities, Lord God, that have been here, Lord, as stakeholders and key holders of a spiritual leader in this community. We place a demand upon them, but Father, I pray that you would raise up those that would lift up their hands, Lord God, to see the victory won. Lord, we thank you that no weapon formed against them will prosper, Lord God. I pray for clarity of mind and clarity of thought. Holy Spirit, take them to new levels. And Lord God, we just thank you that you'll protect them, that you'll guard them and guide them. Lord, I pray for a fresh mantle of worship upon Kim, Lord God, as she steps into this season of being the lead pastor's wife, Lord God. I pray for protection over her mind and over her heart and her life. Lord, I pray that any words would be just roll off like water on a duck's back, Lord God. Father, we speak wholeness and healthiness into her and into her life, Lord God. Father, we thank you for what's about to take place. We thank you, Lord, for the unity in this house today. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to draw all men to you, Lord Jesus, as this couple lifts up your name and lifts you up. Lord, raise a banner. Raise up your presence. Let your fire fall in the Holy Spirit in this place.
And Lord, we just pray a hedge of protection around this couple, that they will stand strong together, looking to each other for strength.
Yes, Jesus.
And we just pray that love would abound. Mm-hmm. Lord God, we praise you. We thank you for what you are doing in their lives and in this community of believers.
Yes.
And we praise you for directing their steps, for keeping them close. And Lord, that they would just enjoy this ride with you. And we just praise you and give you all the glory for what is taking place today. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
we'll go sit down.
Okay. All right. Oh, we're supposed to finish with that. Well, we'll finish with worship. That's how we'll finish. Can I get the worship team up here? And we're going to pray for our offering.